This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Oh! An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Luka Doncic to my left.
Wait, what? Let's not go.
Oh, sorry.
I don't want to go smoke hookah.
That trade got rescinded. I forgot.
Dude, I effing wish.
I tried.
And I literally almost dropped an F-bomb right there.
Dude, I tried to get Luka in here. I mean, for what he was worth, like, I was down.
Who's still smoking hookah today, these days besides, you know, foreigners? Which is cool. I mean, that's a custom. But I remember...
Foreigners, but they're like locals where they do it.
Well, yes.
We're the foreigners.
No, there's a hookah spot down the street from a girl's house. But man, I remember, and it could just be because it was seemingly the only thing we could do in high school, but we would just go in on hookah.
When I was at Wazoo, there was a hookah bar.
Yeah. There was one in downtown Portland, right over by the Broadway Bridge, maybe the Morrison. And they were definitely letting us go in there under the age of 18. They were not checking any idea or anything like that.
We had a hookah bar at Wazoo.
Will, do you hookah? Will seems like a
hookah
guy.
No, not once. I'm not a smoker.
Will seems like a big hookah guy.
Hookah's different. The shashish.
I got asthma. I don't smoke.
It will clear you right up.
That's so rough, dude. You want a career in radio? Start smoking cigarettes now. Look how far I've come.
Look at him.
Come on, dude. I tried to smoke two cigars before my first time on air, and that didn't work out well for me.
Cigars aren't good.
Dumb idea.
We had a hookah bar. We had a hookah bar in Pullman when I was in college, and I think I only ever did it once because I was like, why would you smoke hookah when you could smoke weed or cigarettes? And there was always a giant sign on the door that said, and it was right on Colorado, which is like the main strip for the bars. It goes down to the stadium, and there's a bunch of frat houses there and stuff, and sororities. And it was right next to the Coug. The Coug ended up buying it out, and now they expanded, so blah, 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 blah.
I'm guessing a bar?
Yes, the Coug. One of the oldest taverns in the state of Washington.
Mm, yeah, Ducks had one of those called Taylor's, and then they decided that they wanted to charge kids' cards when they didn't know, and also roofie drinks.
Oh, no.
There went that staple.
No, Coug's a great spot. I know the owner. Awesome dude. Coug's great. But next door used to be a hookah bar, and there was always a giant sign on the door that said, if we under any circumstance suspect you of having marijuana in your hookah, you will be escorted out of the building. Wow. And the police will arrive immediately.
Yeah.
Because it was like a thing, like they would give you the shisha
and the coals
and they would let you build it at your table, and it would be very easy to just like
see this place in Portland.
Sneak a little bit of the devil's lettuce into that.
Yeah, they just brought it to you. They would ask you what flavor you wanted, and they brought it to you. And then I think we started to realize when we were doing it at home, like, wait, we can put weed in this? And then we stopped going to that place in Portland.
And you were like, wow, this super sick hookah thing is actually a better vehicle for weed.
My buddy Jordan had so many burns in his carpet from coals dropping onto the ground. Yeah, they definitely had that hookah phase for a while.
What I would say, though,
get sick from it, from just taking huge rips, throwing up in the bathroom because of hookah.
What I would say, though, is if you use a hookah for marijuana, it is not efficient.
I mean, because we stopped doing it, so I'm guessing that
the tobacco that you use on it is kind of slimy. It's almost like a gel on the tobacco, and that's what lets it continue to burn.
Yeah.
So if you use a hookah for just dry flour, it just burns so fast.
Right.
And so you're putting in way more weed to use this vehicle than you would if you just, roll the blunt.
Yeah, again, I think that's why we stopped doing it. We're like, I think the idea of it is cool. Like, dude, let's put weed in our hookah. And then it was not very cool at all.
And then we just rolled joints and put a little tobacco in it and smoked spliffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, I remember a couple of my buddies in college, because in college you're broke and you don't have as much money and you're trying to make things last. What they would do is they would take mulches. Do you know what those are?
No.
It's essentially you take a, when you're smoking a bong, it's half tobacco and half weed. And so you're taking bong rips, or excuse me, water pipe hits.
Are they small? So it's like a one hitter.
Sometimes no. Because
I know
yes.
the one hitter as a snap.
But yeah, they would do that sometimes, and it was ungodly, disgusting. And I would like come over and be like, "Hey guys, let's smoke." They're like, "Oh yeah, bong's back there," and it would just be the dirtiest, filthiest, never cleaned. And then I would try and smoke just weed out of it,
mm-hmm.
and it was the most unpleasant experience of my life.
One of the stupidest things we ever did,
I hated them for it every single time I went over there,
was we had an empty half-gallon vodka plastic bottle.
Okay. HRD?
No, it was
Popov?
It was not Popov. It was, this brand was Princess Alexis.
Wow.
And we would...
Never heard of that in my life.
We loved blunts. Blunts were the thing.
Oh, buddy, I got some stories.
So we bought boxes of Swisher Sweets, like 60 of them in a box.
Maybe go White Owl to switch things up.
I never went White Owl. I'm a Swisher guy till through and through.
Yeah.
To this day. a lot of blunts rolling at 40. Yeah. And we would use this bottle when you would break up the cigar. Mm-hmm. You'd break up the blunt and you'd have to dump the tobacco.
Dump the guts,
to get the guts to get the wrap. And we would dump it into this Princess Alexis, this half-gallon empty plastic bottle. But what we did, because it was there when you rolled it, after the blunt was done and it was basically like the roach of the blunt, we would ash it in there.
Oh, you got to save those.
And then every once
especially
in a while.
Especially in this economy.
And then every once in a while, because we're broke college kids, didn't have any money, you would cut the top off and dump the thing out and find the roaches and take the weed that was in the roaches and re-roll them into a fresh blunt. And that was called a second generation.
Yeah, and that had been done before in my life, but going through, sifting through.
Well, you just dropped it on a big table, so you were able to, like,
you're
spread
so
it quickly.
Sifting through
yeah,
it,
yeah, but it was, but it wasn't, like, digging. It was just more like spreading.
My God, man. Yeah, one of my best friends, fellow Pitt Panther basketball fan also. He's the only other person I know that is a Pitt Panther basketball fan.
Are they still getting blown out by Syracuse?
No, they won.
Okay, all right.
They won.
It was
thank you very much.
Big lead early.
I know it was. Pitt pulled it out. But my God, that guy is still to this day. That is his.
He still does it?
What, smokes blunts?
No, like re-rolls the roaches?
Absolutely not. No. No, absolutely not. He's got a little bit more respect for himself now. But, dude, that guy, shout out to Benny G, just, we recorded 1 month, I think when we were like 19, like kept track of how many blunts in a month. And we had to do like an estimation because he was putting like two Swishers side by side and making
oh,
them,
rolling
like,
a double?
Yeah.
That was called a Bela Jeezy, where I come from.
Or doing two side by side and then connecting two at the top to make like a thicker, longer blunt.
Yeah, that's a Bela Jeezy.
Dude, it was.
Because it was a blunt that was legit, so it was a Bela Jeezy.
And then I think at the end of the month, we ended up kind of tallying it, and it ended up turning, I think we said that he had smoked 241 blunts in 1 month.
Wow, that's a lot.
And again, just an estimation based off of, you know, connecting different sized ones. And but yeah, I mean, that was, you know, shout out to Benny G because he's still rolling them.
I'll leave you this story if we're using nicknames.
Fastest fingers in the West, too. Dude, that guy could roll it up. I would literally like give him my weed and be like, all right, let's roll up. I'd walk away. Watch a highlight on SportsCenter of whatever game, which usually takes about 45 seconds to a minute. I'd walk back, and there he is, licking it up, finishing it. I'm like, dude, you're already done? Like, that is insane. It would take me 15 minutes to roll that thing.
I have a buddy who will go by Bird. And he one time rolled the Quinteezy. So if you remember the Bela Jeezy.
I love how everybody has different names for it, because we definitely didn't call it Bela Jeezy.
The Bela Jeezy was two wraps connected, so it was like a super long blunt. And then he decided to roll the Quinteezy, which was four of them together, and we smoked that.
And I believe, you know, we use like...
Great friend to this day.
We, you know, we called, I think when he went side by side, I think we just called it a Tony, like a Tony Soprano's, like a cigar, you know?
Because you wanted it thicker.
Yeah.
Ours went long.
See, and we just called that like an L, you know, when you have,
well, yeah, you're rolling, you know, an L.
You know,
well, and we did that with joints, but blunts, we never like made it like a cigar. They just went longer.
Yeah. We would make it like a cigar, go two or sometimes three. Because we didn't like backwoods. The tobacco, it was too much tobacco flavor in a backwood because they use an actual tobacco leaf. And that would just get you faded if you use a backwood. Like, I was not built for backwoods.
Well, and there was hella alcohol involved while we were doing this.
I was not built for that. But yeah, we would just call it rolling up a Tony.
Oakley Doakley.
Wow.
Well.
What a segment.
What up? What up? This is what we're doing. God, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go home and get stoned tonight. We got a baseball show for you tonight.
Might get a chocolate in me. Who knows?
And, yeah.
And then try and jump on the tonal and then give up after 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. We got a baseball show for you tonight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll start previewing divisions as we lead up to the start of the Major League Baseball season. People are in camp. We're playing baseball. I'm seeing highlights on the TV of stuff, and so we're ready to rumble. There's a lot to get to. We're going to preview the American League and the National League East in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we got to go crunch time. We're missing out on some days. We started late. We're not going to be here March 4th, so yep. we got to go double time on some of these.
So we're going to double time on that. So we're going to double up this week with the with the East, go American League and the National League. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour, but we got to – where we got to go first?
The fact that we were wrong on who was going to sign first, yeah. Bregman or Alonso.
Yeah, we were wrong on that. And also, the Red Sox sign a new third baseman, but hold up. They already have a third baseman. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, Today the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
.718 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Will Ortner,
tell
on
us
the
about
ones
your
and twos tonight.
Tell us about your weed stories from college, Will.
We're going to skip baseball tonight and just talk about Will and his weed experiences.
I listened to Nancy Reagan and I just say no.
You weren't even alive when Nancy Reagan was alive.
I still went through DARE.
Should this 2 hours just turn into a, dude, one time I got so high? Just that
you know
over
the,
and
you
over
know,
again.
You know the classic.
Dude, this one time.
You know the classic all-you-can-eat story from Will?
No.
You don't know.
I got kicked out of an Applebee's.
Getting kicked out of Applebee's for the wings. Right? It was wings.
Yeah, it was all you can eat wings. Yeah, and after my fourth or fifth plate, I was kindly told that there would be no more wings coming.
You ever been kicked out of an Applebee's and a wing all you can eat? Yeah. You ever been kicked out of an Applebee's and a wings all you can eat? On weed?
You just got to do it, man. It'll trip you out.
I was completely sober.
Gateway drug. That's the worst part. See, Will, that's why you have a better career here at 1080 The Fan than me and Joe. You have learned to just say no.
One of my favorite anti-pod ads ever actually came in a movie, Harold and Kumar. They're sitting there on their couch watching TV, and the commercial comes on of the two kids getting high, and the one kid is like, oh, I'm so high, nothing can hurt me. And he just grabs a shotgun from his dad's like gun case and just blows his head off. And then immediately it's like, weed kills.
Weed will destroy you.
It's like, it's not like acid, for God's sakes. Never did
acid. Acid won't destroy you.
Never did acid in my life, because all it took was like the one story from someone in high school. Like, you know, when they do their dare and they're like, you know, some kid took acid one time and thought he could fly, jumped off a 10-story building. And I was like, that's all I need to hear to never want to do acid. College.
The reality is,
because he thought he could fly.
He literally, in the apartment complex I was in, he was on the fourth floor of the apartment complex.
Doing some acid.
He ran right through the window.
There you go. And PSA right there for
right
you.
At the entrance, too. So when you, everyone who drove in that day, like, obviously you didn't see him.
Saw the blood on the street.
No, but you saw all the first responders.
Yeah, alcohol is worse for you than all of them.
Well, there you go. There's your PSA to not do acid, because you cannot fly.
Speaking of
acid. Yeah.
All right. Well, well, the Red Sox have finally made some moves. We were very wrong last week, Joe. We had a fair foul from our
2 weeks ago
from our backup producer, Jordan Schultz, asking us, fair or foul, will Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman sign first? We both went Alex Bregman. And the answer was Pete Alonso back to the Mets.
Not only did we say that Alonso would sign second, but we also said that it would be dragged out, and it literally was done the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, whoops.
But fast forward a week later, and
my sources lied to me.
Fast forward a week later, and Alex Bregman is the new third baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Resident homie, boss man Ryan Cooley's Red Sox. He's got Alex Bregman at third base. Hold up. Hold up. Cooley's telling me right now that Bregman's not going to play third base.
Because he's a team player, whereas the guy that is currently playing third base is not.
Quote from Rafael Devers, third base is my position.
Is that his accent? Can you do it?
It's what I play. I don't know what their plans are. We had a conversation. I made it clear on what my desires were. Whatever happens from here, I don't know. Interesting take from Rafael Devers. And if you heard what Alex Cora said about it, Alex Cora had some interesting thoughts to say as well. He said, yes, Bregman's going to come in and he is going to train and work out at third base, as is Devers. And then as spring training rolls along, we'll make a decision from there.
And Rafael Devers was in a press conference and seemed pretty adamant that he was like, no, I'm not DHing. Like, the way he was talking and responding to reporters was very much like, yeah, you got to be effing kidding me. I'm not, no. And there might have been a language barrier breakdown where he wasn't understanding the question, whatever, because he had to kind of go to his translator at one point. But he was pretty damn adamant about not DHing. Also, part of me thinks that he should reconsider and also look at their defensive statistics and analytics between him and Bregman, because Bregman is definitely a better third baseman.
Without a doubt. I mean,
I would rather have him playing third base in the field than Devers.
I think if you compare the two of them as players, Devers is probably the better hitter.
Yes.
Not by much, but yeah, Devers is the better hitter.
Yeah.
But I think the gap between Devers and Bregman as hitters is a lot smaller than the gap between Devers and Bregman as third baseman.
Correct.
And I think Alex Cora kind of, in my opinion, tipped his hand. And I know there's a lot of loyalty, so to say, with Cora and Bregman, being that they both cheated their asses off to win two World Series. He said, quote,
I completely forgot about that connection there.
Yeah.
No wonder he signed with Boston.
Alex Cora said this. He said, Devers has a lot of pride. We know that, and he feels he's a third baseman. He's going to work out as a third baseman, and then we're going to make our decisions accordingly. I think there, it's not about Bregman or Devers or Cora. It's about the Red Sox. Whatever decision we make is for the benefit of the team. Riddle me this, Batman. That sounds like Bregman's our third baseman.
Yeah, and granted, again, it's not up to Bregman to make the choice, but also Bregman came out and was like, dude, I'll do whatever it takes to help the team win.
And I think that's an interesting comment from Bregman, because I think if Bregman signed anywhere else but the Red Sox with Cora, I think he might have a different opinion. I thought Bregman should have signed in Detroit. I thought Detroit would have been the best place for him to be. Back with A.J. Hinch, a team full of kids that needs a veteran. He would be staple right there in the center, be instantly the best player on the team. I really liked him in Detroit. But he chose not to. He chose the money in Boston, and Cora's his guy, so of course he's going to play it straight. I don't know if he would have said that anywhere else. I think in Boston, he knows he's going to be the third baseman.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't want to look too far into, like, the psychology. I mean, like, you just signed with the team. You're excited to be there. Want to say the right thing. So maybe he deep down wants to play third base. But he's just, you know, pulling the whole team player thing. And, oh, I'll do whatever the team coach tells me. But realistically, he would like to play third base. But I don't know. I mean, like, also, it seemed like he really didn't want to go to Detroit. Like, they offered him more.
More long-term.
Yeah.
Boston gave him more short-term.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder if deep, I don't know. It's a good, he's going to a good situation. Like, Boston is seemingly trying to go for it.
Well, and he's what? So that helps, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder if, also, if he gets moved from third base and is playing a different position, how long is it going to take? And maybe Devers has the best year of his career playing third base and there's no problems, but I just wonder if they decide to start the season like, yeah, we're gonna have Bregman play a different position and Devers will stay at third, how many errors and how many issues and how many things happen with Devers at third where Red Sox fans are pissed, like if it loses them one game, you know, because Boston fans,
first error.
Boston fans, we know how reasonable they are too, right?
Extremely, just like Philly.
Yes. So that's the one thing that I also wonder how that's going to play out is after the first error or second error again. Like, obviously, see how the season plays out. But if it's another year that Devers has at third base, and Boston fans are like, man, like if we had Bregman playing here full time, would things be a little bit better? I'm curious to see that how that plays out.
Vancouver 4, text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford than should you write before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Coming in, quote, everybody is better third base than Devers. He's led the league in errors for 7 damn years. And I think, Joe, I think you bring up a great point. Like, What is the over-under in errors Devers has at third, should he play there, before Red Sox fans turn on him? Yeah. He's been their guy. He's been their only guy for the last 2 or 3 years. But now that Bregman's here and they share the same position, over-under 1.5 errors for Devers at third before they start screaming for Bregman.
And then again, it's like he might give up a run playing third base because of an error, and then he goes up the bat the next inning hits a 2-run home run, and it's like, oh, well, okay.
Okay. But can't you hit that 2-run home run
as
DH?
A DH? Yes.
So that's interesting. I want to hold on to that thought about those two guys and why the Red Sox would sign a third baseman knowing they have a third baseman.
They're pulling the Padres. Just sign all the shortstops.
And how another center fielder has decided to move his position. There's a lot to get to in this positional rotation. I'd like to keep that going. We'll do that next. But first, there's my boy, my man. My teammate, my quarterback. That's Will Erner with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Coming up in the second hour, we'll preview the American League and the National League East as we get closer and closer to the opening day of Major League Baseball. I'm really excited for the Japan series. I saw a marketing thing that said the Tokyo series, and on it was Shohei and Yamamoto, and the other side was Imanaga. and Seiya Suzuki.
I was going to make a very off-color joke that probably would have got me in trouble. So
No, dude, this is Trump's America. You can say whatever you want.
I'm good.
I'm just waiting for the FCC to let you drop, you know, some hard R's, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you in the break.
And then in 15 minutes, we'll talk about we'll talk about the prize of free agent next year that has made it very clear that they will be the prize of next year. But I want to kind of continue on this Devers Bregman situation. And there's a couple layers to it. And I'll start with one before we move into kind of the history of people changing positions and some that have worked out and some that have not worked out. You have to think, if you're the Red Sox brass, and Cora alluded to this, that the president of baseball operations, he's no longer here. He has taken another job. Excuse me. So those conversations you have had with the brass in the past about being the third baseman of the future don't necessarily exist anymore because upstairs has changed. So I'm curious if...
Get ready to learn DH, buddy.
So I'm curious if the Red Sox went into this Bregman deal saying, we value Bregman more than Devers. If Devers is not compliant with moving to DH, we'll ship him out.
Dude, there's just part of me.
The pipeline in Boston is pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of young kids coming up.
There's just part of me that's just like, don't you think you would have sorted this all out before offering the contract or signing him? Like,
maybe they have sorted it out and have decided that Devers is not their future. He's a liability at third base. Great hitter. Great hitter. The Boston fans seem to not hate him.
Shocker.
I just wonder if they've done that.
Boy, imagine if he plays third base this year and has a very bad batting year.
Right?
He's going to get killed.
Bregman will be the most overqualified second baseman in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, others.
I mean, there's great second basemen. Joe Morgan, yeah. Robbie Alomar, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there are fantastic second basemen over baseball, and I don't want to say that they aren't up to his snuff, but his defensive skills...
He's a gold glover, for God's sake.
Yeah, albeit not the greatest third base. He's not Nolan Arenado or Mike Schmidt or Scott Rolen, but he's really good at third. Being second is kind of an overkill. I wonder if they've had to have thought about this. Is Devers available?
That's the question I'm asking. Well, there's also part of me that looks at Boston and it's like, why not just make Bregman the third baseman, make Devers DH, and just say, too effing bad, bro.
Yeah, deal with it.
Like, you know, oh, it's my position. Well, okay, but what? Well, no, it's my position. I play third. That's what I get. It's my position.
Like, it was your position.
Cool. You suck at third. You're really good at hitting the ball. Let's just have you. Hey, how about this? You get paid the same amount to work less.
Yeah. What would you say you do here?
There was a bunch of guys in golf that loved the idea of that and jumped ship to play less golf and get paid more. How about you do that? How about you play less baseball and get paid more?
It made me kind of think of this. It made me think of previous players that have had to change positions to deal with whether it was injuries or new teams or young kids coming up. And the reason that I think about this is Mike Trout came out yesterday and said that he will be playing right field. Potentially, when I think of the greatest center fielders of all time, the list is Mickey Mantle,
Adam Jones,
Ken Griffey Jr., Mike Trout, and Willie Mays. Like, those are the four greatest center fielders I've ever seen play baseball. Trout has decided he needs to move to right to help his body.
I mean, did you see Adam Jones's catch in the World Baseball Classic?
I mean, it's sexy. Did you see Griffey climb a wall twice?
Yeah, do that catch, like, every year.
How about Bo Jackson? But so it made me kind of think about, like, Trout's moving to right field, which I am so happy for him. If that means that he is healthier and we get Mike Trout back.
Yeah, longevity.
I am so happy for that. I will miss him in center field, but I'm happy for that. But it made me think about stuff. Bryce Harper moved from right to first after his Tommy John. And that looks like it's worked very well for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's worked great.
Very well. They've got Nick Castellanos in right. You know, you're talking about Soto in right last year for the Yankees. Like, Judge is going to move over to right. That's an upgrade in right field for the Yankees.
Yes, it is.
Because Soto's a liability out there.
And I'm totally spacing. Who's moving to center?
I think Jason Dominguez is going to play center.
Yeah?
No. Dominguez is going to play left.
Am I high?
I'd have to look at the. No. You're not high. Somebody's playing center. Oh, God.
Well, I hope.
Oh, God.
Maybe they just got two guys out there.
Just rovers.
Left center and right center.
Just rovers. But it made me kind of think about some guys that it didn't work. Like, when Alex Rodriguez gets traded to the New York Yankees, Alex Rodriguez is pound for pound, steroids or not, whatever you think about that situation, I don't know if I've ever seen a player play the most important position.
Cody Bellinger.
Oh, right, duh. Cody Bellinger.
I knew it was going to be someone like someone they literally got this offseason.
I can't think of a shortstop naturally more gifted at that position, arguably the most important position in the entire field, than Alex Rodriguez playing short.
I thought you were going to say J.J. Hardy.
He moves to third when he gets to the Yankees because Derek Jeter won't move from short. This is kind of a Jeter A-Rod situation.
Yeah, but also, like, that's one of those with Jeter, it's like, yeah, no, I play shortstop. And it's just kind of like, yeah, and you're pretty good at it. So, I mean, yeah.
He was pretty okay at it.
That's fine.
I will ask the question, you know, not to derail too much. Could the Yankees have been better if A-Rod played short, Jeter moved to second, and they brought in a third baseman?
I mean,
it's revisionist history, but I'm just saying, that's these kind of thoughts that I have with Devers. I feel like Devers refusing to leave third leans more to the what if than this is the better situation. Trout moving to right sounds like the better position for me. Bryce Harper moving to first? Sounds like the better position to me. Last time I checked, the Mariners had a third baseman in the early 90s named Edgar Martinez. He was not very good at third. He went to DH and is a Hall of Famer.
Whoa, weird how that happened.
You didn't know that?
That's crazy.
He started as a third baseman, moved to a DH because he wasn't very good at third. I worry if Devers is on the wrong side of history in this.
I think he is. I think that... I'm just very intrigued to see how this season starts off and if he just continues this trend of not playing third base nearly as well as some other dudes out there. And that's to put it lightly, that the fans are going to turn on him regardless of what he's doing at the plate. Again, man, it's going to take it, he's going to cost him runs in a game late, and that's all it's going to take, I feel. And
we're going to get into the American League East. There's no room for error in that division.
No, and, you know, tip of the cap to the Red Sox. I mean, they're definitely making this team better and going for it. This is probably the best Red Sox team that we have seen in the last few years.
I talked to Cooley. He said the same thing.
And so, I just feel that Devers, he's being stubborn. He's, I get it. If that's what you want to do and play third base, but... You have a guy that literally just joined the team, and he's saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win.
Meanwhile, you're like, I won't. I do what I do.
Yeah, it's just you're already off to the wrong foot in this new iteration of the Red Sox. And I think over time, as you said, like whether it's going to lead to him being dealt, but I don't know, man. If you're a Red Sox fan, could you not totally see yourself in a year or two being like, dude, yeah, let's keep Bregman and move Devers?
I think you could move Devers.
And get a lot.
And get a lot for him. And when he shows up and is like, yeah, I play third base, they're like, no, you don't. You DH. You've been dealt. Yeah, the team that enabled you is no longer your employer.
Yeah.
And you will DH.
Yeah, man, it's very intriguing to see how this goes. Because, yeah, again, and it could be one of those things where they do move him to DH and he's like, wow, this is awesome. I don't have to play as much and we're fine. And look at us. We're great.
Like, I'll tell you what, I love baseball. When I was a kid, I played second base. All I ever wanted was play second base for the rest of my life. If you told me all I had to do was hit because I was really good at it and didn't have to do anything else.
Oh, dude.
Check.
I sucked at every position out
Shohei,
of baseball.
You're going to do all this rehab to pitch? Why, bro?
And I sucked at hitting, too. I sucked at everything baseball. I did like playing catcher. I'm not going to lie, but my throwdowns to second were subpar at best. Yeah, if you told me that, Joe, all you have to do is hit, I'd be like, sign me up.
Done. I don't have to take a pay cut? No.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to still play and bat every single time.
People will love you more.
Cool.
We'll bat you second.
Sounds great.
Sounds wonderful.
That's awesome.
All right. Speaking of sounds wonderful, there is the front runner for the biggest free agent who has decided to not sign a contract extension with their current team, which places them right at the forefront of 2026. We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Love baseball? So do these guys. This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
What would you say you do here?
I hit dingers. There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
You can put it on the board!
What's Alfred D'Elia up to?
Oh, I have no idea.
Dude, spit on that thing.
That was my best guess.
What?
I don't know,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully not. Hopefully he's hitting dingers somewhere.
I don't know,
at
man.
At a college. Like, how old do you think? He's got to be in college now.
Probably.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it.
Why isn't he in the big leagues?
He will be.
Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into our previews. We'll start previewing some divisions through the American League East and the National League East. But some news that came across the board yesterday. I guess there was a deadline yesterday that nobody knew about until it became 24 hours before. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signing a contract extension with the Toronto Blue Jays. That passed. He had not re-signed, and now it is basically official that Vladdy will test the free agent market.
He's going to look good in black and orange, I was going to say.
My question for you to start, before we start thinking about how the Blue Jays have completely messed this whole thing up. How much money do you think he's going to make? Soto money?
No.
Judge money? Mookie Betts money?
No.
More like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts money?
Yeah.
Like a 10-year, 300 mil?
I would say probably a little bit more.
Not an 8-year 440?
I could see like 10 years 400, 10 years 450.
What do you think he thinks he's worth? 2 years 800?
I would hope he would think that he's somewhat around where I just said. At like 10 years 450 at the most.
Oh my God. Someone's like, I'll give you 10 years 440. You're like, you know, I got to think about this for a minute. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. I that seems fair.
I mean, is that? I think that's.
I don't know.
For him, 10 years, 450? I mean.
There aren't many players in baseball like Vladdy.
I'm curious.
In terms of his size, his character, you know, he's pretty good at first base. Obviously, he's got the bomb power. He seems like a great clubhouse guy. He comes from baseball lore. I just don't think there are many guys in baseball that you can value like that. It's kind of like, let's say Jackson Holliday hits, okay? Second baseman can play short, probably should be playing short if they didn't have Gunnar Henderson. Comes from a pedigree of a fringe Hall of Famer parent in Matt Holliday, who I loved Matt Holliday as a player. What if in 5-6 years and Jackson Holliday becomes a free agent, what's that value? It's not just about playing shortstop and being a good hitter. It's about all the other intangibles. I don't know. Because like Fernando Tatis Jr., his dad was okay. Bubba Shedd, his dad was okay. But Vladdy's dad is in the Hall of Fame. And he looks like he could be in the Hall of Fame too. I don't know how you value that.
Well, I can give you a calculated market value of what Spot.
That sounds like math.
SpotRack.com. Which I just found this feature like a week or so ago, but you can, any player, NFL, MLB, NBA, they'll give you a calculated market value.
Okay.
And right now, his market value, they say, is $35.6 million average annual salary. So that would be a, you know, estimated 12-year, $427 million contract. So
it would be looking at Bryce Harper level.
So it'd be more so it's more than Bryce. 10 years.
10 years, 350.
Yeah, but what about the 0.6? I don't know how much that changes it, really.
Got to bump it to 375.
So, I mean, I'm a little bit over on that. But, again, I could see him saying, I want 10 years, 400 mil.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And that's the next question. Before we get into, like, is he worth it? I mean, is he worth it? I don't know if that really matters. I mean, look at what Xander Bogaerts got. He's not worth that.
He'll be 26 at this time next year.
Good God.
So you're willing, I mean, I would say
10 years. I mean, a 10-year deal is at least six of high leverage.
Yeah, but again, it's just how things are going right now.
I'd rather have a 10-year guy whose contract ends at 36 than a 10-year guy whose contract ends at 41.
So what, you're going to
go paging Albert Pujols, paging Aaron Judge?
So then more team-friendly deal would be somewhere around like 8 years, probably.
Yeah, I'd probably do eight.
Yeah, 8 years at $300 million.
God, that makes him a free agent. Someone do math for me. What's 6 plus 8?
That would make him 34.
34? I mean, you could get a 4-year deal for like 25.
I mean, then again, it's like, what's at Vlad at 34? That's probably still got some juice in him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Legal juice. So why not sign him to 10 years?
There's no way the Blue Jays get him.
I don't know. They seem to kind of be effing it all up. So it doesn't.
They
really
seem like a worse version of the Giants when it comes to free
agents.
And that's not a place I want to be.
There's definitely part of me, I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you letting it get to this point? Like, I understand maybe wanting to restart the clock. The guy's going to be 26. Like, what are you?
I understand the Mets being like, I don't know on Pete Alonso. If we're talking first baseman, I don't know. I don't know. You're a little older. Your average isn't great. Your bombs are awesome. I know the fans love you, but I don't know. How are the Blue Jays screwing this up?
Yeah, that's a head scratcher. It's like, hey, someone who was the MVP runner up 2 seasons ago and is in the prime of his career.
I mean, I'm gearing up for fantasy right now, and he is projected in the first round of every draft.
Rightfully so. I mean, if we want to play a little bit of devil's advocate, started off the season slow.
Sure, he did.
Then he cut his hair. And started just
the opposite of McCutcheon. Remember when McCutcheon cut his hair and it was like, man,
God,
adios.
You suck now. No, he cut his hair and had a great rest of the season and still had, like, statistically, his numbers weren't even that bad at the beginning of the year. They were just bad in Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Correct.
Terms. So,
of a 25-year-old generational superstar.
Yeah, I'm very curious to hear any sort of explanation from Toronto as to why you would let him walk. And quite frankly, you shouldn't let him walk. If you're planning to let him walk, just trade him. Trade him before the deadline.
That's the next question. Do they trade him?
Doesn't this just kill his trade value, though? Like, if I'm a team,
no.
Unless I think I'm in a win now, I still think it's going to kill a little bit of trade value because there's no guarantee that he signs with you. His agent is Scott Boras, correct?
Correct.
He's going to go to the highest bidder.
I know. I present to you Juan Soto. The Yankees gave up a lot for Juan Soto. Michael King.
Did they win a title?
No, but they gave up the core of what the Padres are building on right now. And Soto still got his money. So the Yankees were the loser in all of it. So to your point, the trade value sucks if you're the one that trades for him. But Soto turned out okay, and the Padres turned out okay. The Yankees sucked, but we just waxed poetic, and I'm going to in the next hour, that they didn't sign Soto, and they got better. So I wonder if that's the same thing from Vladimir Guerrero. But the question is, I don't know if Toronto will trade him. Is this a Shohei thing all over again? We believe that he'll re-sign with us.
Oh, dear God.
So we're not going to trade him, and we'll keep him here. Because right now, they have swung and missed. The only free agents the Blue Jays have signed in the last 4 years, this is off the top of my head, that they have signed in the last 4 years that they've gone after is Guzman and Santander.
That's right. They did get Santander. Totally forgot about that. And that
or Gausman, sorry. Kevin Gausman and Anthony Santander.
Two former Orioles.
They were in it on Shohei. They were in it on trying to be in it on Judge. They're trying to be in it on Chapman. They're trying to be in it on every big free agent has a meeting with Toronto. Every big free agent has a meeting with Toronto. The best they've got is Gausman and Santander.
I think those are two mighty fine players.
I think they're great, players that I would love to have on my team.
Yeah, I just don't see what they're like, all right, let's get rid of him and then what? Like, what's the end game here? You save a bunch of money, but you're going to suck then. Like, and again, I don't want to be hypocritical because I know that, you know, when we talked about Soto, it's very much like he's one player. You know, you need more than one player, but are the Blue Jays just going to full reset this thing? Like, their window closed? I mean, it kind of is closing. They didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Their offense is not nearly what it was two, three seasons ago.
Bo Bichette had a disastrous season last year. Springer is clearly on the decline.
So maybe it is just Toronto, you know, them packing up their suitcase and saying, we're out of here. You know, best of luck to the rest of the AL East over the next few years. We're going to be the bottom feeders, and we're going to try and rebuild this thing.
Real quick, where do you think he goes?
Oh, God, I haven't even...
Do you think he gets traded?
I have to lean that way. I have to lean that he gets traded right now.
I think he gets traded, too.
I don't think he does. I think the Blue Jays convince themselves that they can bid for him and get him. And I think...
Then just do it now, though. That's, you know, sorry to interrupt, well, but again, that's just what I feel like. Like, if you're...
I agree.
...trying to wait it out, like, just sign the dude, then.
I agree. I think his number's astronomical. Like, all of Boris's guys get to free agency for a reason. There's a reason why the top guys sign with Boris. I think that the number that he's asking for right now is stupid.
Probably in that 10-year, $450 million range, like I said at the very beginning. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he's asking for. Like, if he wants 45 a year.
I bet you he ends up a Texas Ranger.
Well, I know that there's been some talks about that.
Or an Angel.
It would be very Angels-esque for them to trade for him and then he sucks. Or they sign him and he's just not good anymore.
All right, we come back. It's time. Loaded second hour. It's time we will dive into previews of Division Series Plus, a Will Ortner edition of Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour. There's a lot to get to. Also, side note, just to keep up with if you were listening to primetime, BYU had a chance to be up by 40 on Kansas. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. That's how rough this is.
I forgot that this was the primetime bowl. The primetime classic, rather.
R.I.P. Kansas. R.I.P. Isaac Rupp. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner. Danny the Fan.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.